The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm excited to have everyone back, but let me tell you, I'm actually more excited to have our guest on today. He is the CEO of Legacy Wealth Holdings, Mr. Tim Brotz. Tim, thank you for joining us today. How are you, sir?
Doing awesome, Cody. I appreciate the invite, man. Excited to be here.
Yeah, no, seriously, thank you for joining us. I know you got a lot of stuff going on, so we appreciate the time and sharing with myself and the audience today. For those that are hearing your name and your voice for the first time, hopefully not, but if they are, would love to know a little bit about where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what you guys are doing now.
Yeah, man. High level. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio originally. Was going through college when the market was going crazy before 03 to 07, and everybody's making money in real estate. So that's really what kind of prompted me to get into real estate. Moved out to New York City, became a real estate agent, saw there was more money in owning real estate than brokering real estate. So I actually moved down to Charleston. We had a bad winter up there. Moved down to Charleston, South Carolina in 08. And just kind of dove in. And, you know, this is when the market collapsed. I was 23 years old. I'd never done a deal before. It was very difficult to do real estate deals. I didn't have access to money. I didn't have any experience. I didn't have any resources. I remember hearing Tony Robbins say once, like, resourcefulness is the ultimate resource. So if you are resourceful, you'll find the time, you'll find the money, you'll find the knowledge, you'll find the experience, you'll find the resources in order to go out and start doing some deals. And so that's what I ended up doing. Man, I didn't have money, but the market was ripe with deals, kind of opposite of what you're seeing today. Today, there's a ton of money out there and not enough deals. Back 10, 12 years ago, when I first got started, it was 12, 13 years ago almost, it was deals everywhere and money nowhere, at least for a 23-year-old kid who'd never done a deal before, right? And so I bought my first house up off of Dorchester Road in North Charleston. I bought it on my credit card, fixed it all up. Did all the work to it, flipped it, and I realized, holy cow, like, I don't even know what I'm doing and making money doing this. So just got into wholesaling, got into flipping, started doing some turnkey type of rentals and building up a small portfolio. And just kind of fast forward. I mean, there's been a lot of ups, a lot of downs, but fast forward today, I have a little over 4,000 apartment doors and about $400 million portfolio across 12 different states. 90% of it's multifamily and about 10% is kind of like some upscale, like vacation rental type properties.
Cool. Well, listen, we love hearing people's background. We love the diversity everyone brings to the game. And it's interesting. I think you're one of the few that we've had on that have gone through the 08, 09 kind of crisis, right? The financial crisis and the homes crisis. So you have seen major swings, both sides of the pendulum, if you will, on that. So we always love having somebody like yourself on that really brings that unique perspective, because many of us started after that. So we don't really know what the other side of that pendulum swing feels like. So we very much appreciate it. But as you mentioned kind of in your intro, was, you know, you have seen some lows. You've had some challenges, and you've been in it long enough that I'm sure you've got a decent number of stories, but would love to hear from some of those today to empower our audience and teach them some of the things that you learned in the school of hard knocks.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been in real estate for 12 and a half years, like investing, and I've been in the industry since 05. So 16 years. I was pretty bad for the first 8-9 years, right? I got good around 3-4 years ago of doing real estate. And that's a standard curve, right? Here's what is important to understand. I know there's a lot, there might be some new people who haven't done a deal before watching this or listening to this. There might be some people who have just kind of gotten started in the first couple of deals. First, most important thing is just go out and do a deal, right? Like, that is going to teach you more than listening to 1,000 podcasts, attending 100 courses or anything else. Like, you just got to go out, and if you want to learn how to swim, you got to jump in the water, right? Like, you can't read about swimming in a book. You have to actually get in the water. And real estate's the same way. So one, go out and do deals. And secondly, realize that as you're going through all these different, you know, experiences, like, you're going to lose. You're going to get, you know, knocked down over and over and over again. Contractor's going to burn you. Tenants are going to, you know, burn you. The city's not going to comply, even though you have everything in place. Like investors are going to fall out the day before closing. Like, all that stuff is standard operating procedures. But real estate is not an experiment. right? Like since the beginning of time, wealth has been measured in land ownership. So you know that it's going to work. It's not a if it's going to work. It's just a when is it going to work? And for me, even though I was really, really bad at real estate for the first 8 years or so, I had enough little victories to build up enough little momentum that I knew that if I just kind of kept my head down, I could push through any of these adversities that I was facing and eventually grow my portfolio to where I wanted to be.
Yeah, I love that. And we've heard from some others, you know, and I heard you talk about it. A lot of times it's a mindset thing. You know, it's not if, but a when these things are going to happen. So you got to keep that mindset of, you know, things are going to happen. You can give it whatever analogy you want. You don't know what you're going to know to get hit in the mouth. You know, you don't know how to swim until you jump in the water. All those analogies fit in the mindset that you just got to get in some of these opportunities and jump in and do it. For you, what were some of the hardest lessons that you learned when you did finally make that jump early on in your career? What were some of those painful things that you had to overcome in those instances?
You know, like when I got started, I was really young. So a lot of it was, hey, kiddo, you know, eventually you'll get there kind of a thing. Like I wasn't really seen, it was very difficult to raise money from people. All my friends were getting drunk at bars, right? So like they didn't have any money. They're blowing all their money on stupid, you know, electronics and cars and stupid stuff, right? They're not actually building any wealth. So like I had to go to people older than me and then convince them in order to invest in some 23, 24, 25 year old kid who didn't have a ton of experience when all the media and the news outlets are all saying run away from real estate, right? My family's not investing with me. My friends aren't investing with me. And it was very, very difficult to then go and convince other people to do that. So I had to essentially, man, I had to give up a substantial amount of equity in the first, I don't know, 250 units that I bought from 2009 to 2015. I bought probably about 250 doors-ish, and I gave up about 70% of the equity in all those deals. And a lot of people are like, man, why would you give up that much equity? What are you thinking? And I see this in a lot of students and stuff and people who hit me up on social media today is they're thinking like, I think I deserve this much equity in this deal. I was like, well, listen, man, like it's your first deal. How much value can you actually bring to it? You should be thankful for just being in the deal, getting a little piece of the equity, learning through it, because it's not about this deal. It's about what does this deal set you up for? If you do this one deal, can you do 10 more? Can you do 50 more? Is it going to set you up to do your next 1,000 doors, 5,000 doors? Like just get in the game, right? It's everybody gets so focused on the equity. And I think it's such a scarcity mindset and probably coming from residential, you need to have that because you're not carving up, you know, millions of dollars of equity in any given deal. Like you are in multifamily and residential carving up 10, 20, 30 grand. And it's hard to have a lot of hands in the cookie jar. But when you get into commercial, it's a team sport and you don't need to have 100% of the business. In fact, I'd rather have a quarter of a watermelon than 100% of a grape. You know, there's a lot more juice in the squeeze of a quarter of a watermelon than 100% of a grape.
How many of the people that you talk to that hit you up for that type of information do you feel like stay on the sidelines because they can't see past the idea of, hey, I can give up a little bit of equity to gain a ton of experience. And then what I learn, I can flip into earn more equity in the next deal. How many people are you seeing in that range of staying on the sidelines and not getting in the game because of it?
Yeah, I preach it so much that a lot of the people who come to me, they eventually have heard me say it enough times where all of a sudden, all right, finally it clicks. But what I do know from coaching thousands of people and mentoring hundreds in my mastermind and stuff is that we are always our own bottleneck, right? It's not external factors. It's nobody else that's holding us back. It's always in our own mind, the hurdles that we're facing, the obstacles that we need to overcome. It's nothing external. It's all inside of our own head, stories that we make up ourselves. So if you can work more on your mind than you even do on your business, that's going to be, it's going to give you more growth and opportunity for success than anything else. So I just early on, when I wasn't really good at doing the business, I just worked harder on me and my mindset. I listened to the Tony Robbins stuff and the Jim Rohn and John C. Maxwell and all these personal development thought leaders. And I really, really focused on that. And that kind of set me up in a way where it didn't matter what business I pursued. I understood the psychology behind it and had enough influence and could build relationships and all those kinds of things that go beyond any sort of industry or asset class or anything along those lines. So transcends all those things.
Perfect. I love that. Circling back to the idea, as you mentioned, so we're in a little bit different time period than when you started, where when you started, money was scarce, deals were plentiful. And now, like you mentioned, we're on the flip-flop. So if somebody's getting in the game now, they can probably find money because people have disposable income or they understand a little bit more about investing in real estate and the benefits thereof. So then what would be your advice to give somebody that's looking to get in that is looking to find deals, being that that's the hardest part? How do they crack that egg and get into that game? Because we're seeing that it's more and more challenging. So many people are there's so few deals that the bigger players are starting to lower to where they want to buy at. What is your advice for somebody kind of in that field right now trying to get in?
Yeah, well, first you got to realize that if you try to, you know, hey, I'm only going to buy 100 unit buildings or bigger. And we kind of talked offline about this. You're competing with guys like me with 4,000 doors. If you've never done a deal and then you're going to bat against somebody that has 4,000 doors, you're not going to get that deal, right? Even if your offer is more, just because I have a track record of closing deals. And there's a lot of people way bigger than me that I can't even hold a candle to. And because they have deeper pockets and they need a lower cap rate, they don't pay their investors as high as what I pay mine or there's a lot of different specifics. So you're seeing a lot of those big players, like you said, move into these from primary markets into secondary markets, from secondary markets even into tertiary type markets, or get into smaller buildings or a little bit heavier value add type properties. And so it's definitely getting more competitive because there is so much money that's just chasing yield. They don't need to make 10% or an 8% cap rate. They just need any sort of return because anything is better than the money sitting there not earning anything, right? And so that creates a problem, but it also creates an opportunity, right? Like there's opportunities and obstacles. And whenever there's an obstacle, there's always an opportunity. So as an entrepreneur, our job is to solve problems. You know, whenever I see an obstacle, I'm like, hey, how do we solve this? Well, guess what? If you can go out and source deals right now, you are a fine commodity. It is difficult, right, to find smoking deals right now. And so if you can find opportunities out there and look at it from a perspective that's not just the standard, well, how many units is it? And what's the unit mix? And what's the average rental rate? And how much work does it need? And what can we turn it into? I'll give you an example. I bought 550 doors in Houston, Texas. Very hot market, right? One of the most primary sought after markets in the country. And it was on the market for, price to be determined. The whisper price was in the mid 70 million range. And we come in and everybody's like, yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of, it might be worth $82 million, but we're going to be into it for $75 million. Like why? It's not really that much meat on the bone kind of a thing. We went in and we looked at it from a different perspective. We noticed the unit mix was a little bit skewed, meaning there were only like 100 one bedrooms. There were like 200 two bedrooms and like 250 three bedrooms. And so we looked at it, we're like, the three bedrooms were renting for like $200 more than a one bedroom was because there were so many three bedrooms. And we noticed in the floor plan, we could take the three bedrooms, cut it in half, add a kitchen to the one side and make it 2 1 bedroom apartments. And so we were able to go in without changing or adding the floor plan and essentially just, investing a few thousand dollars more into about 100 units and turn 100 three bedroom units into 200 one bedroom units. Okay. So instead of making $1,400 a month for a three bedroom with the same amount of square footage, we're now making, it was around $2,400 a month is what we're generating now, the same square footage. And so we're making an extra $1,000 a month, an extra $12,000 a year per each of those units, right? Per those 100 units. And it increased the value of the property by something like $30 million. So now it's worth $106 million instead of, $77 million or whatever we're going to be all into it for. And we were able to see things that other people weren't seeing. So sometimes you got to get creative. And that's actually, it helped me getting involved in real estate in 2009 because it was hard to do deals. It was not easy to do deals until a couple of years ago for me. And so I had to creatively structure and creatively finance, and creatively fund deals in a way that was unconventional. And I'm having to do that again today in a way to structure it to get the seller their price point. No problem, I'll give you your price point, but I need you to carry back a little bit of like a seller carry of 10% of the purchase price, or I need to get creative on the construction side and I need to figure out ways to increase the income, decrease the expenses that are outside of the normal traditional rents, laundry income, parking income, and those kinds of things. You know, I'm looking at a lot of different prop tech, just like there's fintech companies, there's a lot of prop tech companies that are coming out with new technologies for commercial real estate. And some of those companies, we're looking at, hey, how do we increase the income with some of these prop tech companies? How do we reduce turnover with some of these prop tech companies? How do we put efficiencies and systems in place to reduce our overhead and just streamline a lot of our processes? So we're looking at a lot of those things today. I don't want to overly complicate this, you know, for somebody who's just getting in. You just got to get a deal, first of all, right?
Yeah.
And then as you continue to grow, you know, I've been in real estate for 12 and a half years investing, and I'm just now to the point where I'm really dialing in a couple of these pieces. So early on, I was just doing deals, right? Knocking out deals. And that's really what I want people focused on. But you'll go through these seasons of taking a step back in your business to refine your portfolio in order to make many leaps forward. So, you know, Cody, I know we were talking offline, like I'd rather see you go and buy a bunch of 15, 25, 35, 50 unit buildings, get up to a few hundred units, and then you're going to be able to go and qualify for a 200 unit building on your own. And as you start building that side of the portfolio with the bigger properties, then you can start shedding off the smaller buildings, C-class buildings, tertiary market buildings, like that kind of stuff. So that's how I did it. And it's worked very, very well, right? And it gave me the momentum and the respect in the real estate community to get me to where I am today.
I love it. I love it. So for people listening, get in the game. Don't sit on the sidelines. Like, get in, start learning, get the experience, because that's going to be more valuable than anything you listen to here or anywhere else. And then get creative, right? Mm-hmm. It's a tough market right now. So you have to look at things creatively. And that's what the best entrepreneurs set themselves apart from others. So, Tim, I think that's as good enough a spot as ever to wrap up. I can't thank you enough for joining us today, for giving us the knowledge and all the experience that you bring to the table. So for those that want to work with you, learn from you, connect with you, where's the best place folks can find you at?
Yeah, man. No, I appreciate you having me. You asked a lot of good questions and, you know, hopefully I delivered enough value, but yeah, connect with me on social media. I'm very active on Facebook. I'm very active on Instagram. Our website's legacywealthholdings.com. If you want to learn more about what we do, how we do it, where we're doing it, our coaching and all that stuff's on there. So, but yeah, just shoot me a message on Instagram or Facebook. I'm really active on those and trying to just put out value whenever I can. So Cody, I appreciate you having me, buddy.
No, Tim, pleasure's all mine. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And for those listening at home, we appreciate y'all, and we'll catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.